Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Robert Kay. I'm the chair of Collins Foods Limited. I'd like to welcome all that are joining us. Thank you for attending the company's 2024 annual general meeting. We're pleased that shareholders are taking advantage of technology that enables us to meet online and allows our shareholders, their appointed proxies, corporate representatives or attorneys to ask questions and submit votes in real time from different locations. At this meeting of Collins Foods Limited, shareholders, only shareholders, their appointed proxies, corporate representatives or attorneys are entitled to make comment, ask questions or vote. All other attendees are welcome as observers. Under the Collins Foods Limited Constitution, a quorum is two shareholders, and our company secretary has informed me that we have a quorum present. It's also 9:30 a.m. and I declare the meeting open. Before I go any further, I'd like to introduce your board of directors present at the meeting today. To my immediate right is someone you may already recognise as Kevin Perkins, our interim managing director and CEO. To his right, next to Kevin, is Nikki Anderson. Nikki is chair of the company's People, Culture and Nominations Committee. And to the right of Nikki is Nigel Clark, an independent non-executive director who serves as a member of the Audit and Risk Committee. To my left is Chris Berto, the Interim General Counsel and Company Secretary. Next to Chris is Christine Holman, who chairs our Audit and Risk Committee. And seated next to Christine is Mark Hawthorne. Mark is an independent non-executive director and member of the Audit and Risk Committee and People, Culture and Nominations Committee. We're also joined in the room by Andrew Layden, Group Chief Financial Officer, and David Kelly, Group Chief Risk Officer, as well as other executive members. Michael Crowe, representing the group's auditor, PricewaterhouseCoopers, is also in attendance. You'll find biographies of each of the directors and executive team on the company's website. So after outlining a few matters of procedure, I'll begin with a review of the 2024 financial year. Following this, Kevin, our interim MD and Chief Executive Officer, will provide an update on our focus strategy to continue to deliver earnings growth to shareholders. Following the addresses, we'll take questions, allowing shareholders an opportunity to consider responses to those questions before moving to the formal business of the meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, a copy of the notice of AGM dated the 26th of July 2024 has been distributed with the 2024 annual report to all shareholders, and if there are no objections, it will be taken as read. The notice of AGM and the company's web page provided shareholders with information already on how to participate, how to ask questions and vote at this AGM online, using a desktop or mobile desk and mobile device. However, I'll now remind shareholders of the process to submit a question and vote online. Text questions can be submitted through the online meeting platform at any time from now. To ask a question, press the Q&A icon and then type your question into the text box. Once you've finished typing, please press the send button, and to ask a verbal question, please follow the instructions written below the broadcast. If you're a shareholder in Brisbane and wish to ask a verbal question, at the time verbal questions will be taken, please just wait for a microphone so that your name and question may be heard clearly by all. As indicated earlier, questions will be addressed later in this meeting. These questions will be moderated to avoid repetition, and if questions are particularly lengthy, we may need to summarise them in the interests of time. Depending on the question asked, I'll make the decision whether I answer it or will ask a member of management, another director, or indeed the auditor, to respond. In the unlikely event we run out of time to answer all the questions, we'll respond to you separately after this meeting, and I would encourage you, therefore, to submit your questions as soon as you can. All items of business will be decided on a poll. I'll open the polls now and keep them open so you can vote at any time during the meeting. If you're eligible to vote at this meeting and have logged into the online platform, a voting icon that looks like a page will appear on your device screen or navigation bar. When you click this icon, the resolutions will appear on your screen and you can select a voting option. There's no need to select a submit or enter button as the vote is automatically recorded. Shareholders will have the ability to change their vote during the meeting until I declare the polls closed. I'll close the polls at the end of question time, so I encourage you to vote as soon as possible. For the shareholders and proxy holders here in Brisbane, you may choose to complete your voting card in its entirety. Lewis Brimlow from Computershare will act as returning officer for the purpose of conducting and determining the results of the poll, the results of which will be announced to the ASX when final results are known. I now declare the poll open. The voting icon should soon appear if it hasn't already. Please submit your votes any time from now on until the resolutions have been read. If you're having any difficulties in locating the voting icon, please refer to the detailed guide available on Collins Foods' website. Kevin will be speaking to you in a moment, but I wanted to start off by making a few remarks. Your company performed well in FY24, delivering record revenue and higher earnings in an inflationary environment with softer consumer sentiment. The group achieved a solid financial performance in FY24 with strong growth in revenues flowing through to a double-digit increase in earnings despite a challenging operating environment. Revenue growth, including same-store sales growth, was achieved across all business segments during the year, an impressive outcome given the challenging consumer landscape. In Australia, product innovation and our focus on affordability saw KFC retain its leadership on key taste and value metrics, with the brand holding market share. Collins Foods' Australian footprint continues to grow with 9 new restaurants opened in FY24, bringing our network in Australia to 279. We continued to grow the KFC brand in the Netherlands last year under our corporate franchise agreement, with further gains in market share and brand metrics contributing to same-store sales growth. Our business in Germany also enjoyed same-store sales growth in FY24. We're growing our presence in Europe, expanding our network by 11 new restaurants, ending the year at 75. In Taco Bell, our focus on improved product quality and more effective marketing resonated with customers, delivering solid revenue and same-store sales growth. The brand's value proposition is well suited to the current economic environment. Strong digital adoption was another key driver of growth for all three business units, reflecting changing consumer preferences towards convenience. Digital channels represented approximately 30% of KFC Australia, all KFC Australia, and Taco Bell sales. That's in FY24, and almost 60% of KFC sales in the Netherlands and Germany. The company remained highly cash generative in FY24, with $176.4 million in cash flow from operating activities after tax, supporting a reduction in net debt to $165.5 million and facilitating reinvestment in new restaurants, remodels and digital channels. Strong growth generation also underpinned dividend growth. The board was pleased to declare a final fully franked dividend of 15.5 cents per share, bringing the total FY24 dividend to 28 cents per share fully franked. So that's up 1% on prior year. Sorry, 1 cent, I apologise, on prior year. As noted in the annual report, in our recent trading update, the weaker consumer environment in both Australia and Europe is expected to impact group performance over the year ahead, placing pressure on margins. While we're seeing many commodity prices ease, labour and energy costs remain elevated for all three business units. We're continuing to leverage the deep operational expertise of our leadership team to support profitability while prioritising consumer trust and the long-term health of our brands. This approach has enabled us to successfully navigate challenging conditions over the past few years and ensures we are best placed to take advantage of economic conditions when they improve. Collins Foods operates world-class value brands within the highly resilient QSR sector. Despite the short-term headwinds, we're pushing ahead with our growth plans, investing further in footprint growth, network renovation, and product and digital innovation. During the past year, we significantly strengthened our environmental, social, and governance credentials. We completed our first double materiality assessment with an independent advisory firm and outlined new targets as part of our 2030 ambition statement. Our FY24 progress against sustainability ambitions is detailed in Collins Foods' sustainability report on our website. Our sustainability strategy focuses on five key pillars: operations, people, communities, planet, and governance. Examples include environmentally conscious restaurant designs, new solar installations, battery-supported restaurants, and the introduction of higher chicken welfare products in both Europe and Australia. We're incredibly proud to be a major employer of young people and are leading the way in closing the gender pay gap, with a median total remuneration gender pay gap of minus 2.7% in our Australian workforce. We also continue to upskill our people, with 95% of restaurant management positions filled by internal candidates. In September 2023, we welcomed UK-based Nigel Clark to the Collins Foods board as a new independent non-executive director. Nigel has more than two decades of legal and financial experience spanning cross-border finance, business restructuring and mergers and acquisitions, complementing existing board expertise and supporting our continued European expansion. In line with long-term succession plans, Russell Tait retired from his independent non-executive director role in September 2023 after more than 12 years on the board. On behalf of my fellow directors, I again thank Russell for his significant contribution to Collins Foods during a period of international expansion. Nikki Anderson has succeeded Russell as Chair of the People, Culture and Nominations Committee. During the year, we also navigated, as many of you know, leadership disruption with our MD and CEO, Drew O'Malley, being granted a leave of absence to support his family while his wife underwent treatment for a serious illness. Drew subsequently decided to step down to focus on his young family, We wish Drew all the best and again thank him for his contribution. The board would also like to thank Non-Executive Director Kevin Perkins for stepping up to lead the business as Interim Managing Director and CEO as we conduct a search for a permanent replacement. Kevin has provided stability and continuity to the business, leveraging his previous experience as CEO of Collins Foods. Collins Foods' solid performance during one of the most challenging consumer environments in many years would not have been possible without the hard work and dedication of our people. Our entire team of more than 20,000 employees continues to set new standards in QSR excellence. I'd also like to extend my gratitude to my fellow directors for their valued governance and oversight of your company during the year. Lastly, I'd like to thank our loyal shareholders for your ongoing support. While short-term headwinds remain, Collins has a proven track record in challenging macro environments, and we continue to focus on creating long-term shareholder value. I'd now like to welcome Kevin Perkins, our interim MD and CEO, to address you. Kevin.
Thank you, Robert. I'd like to say it's great to be back. I was almost going to use that horrible line from that movie, you know, he's back. But thank you, Robert, and good morning, everyone. You know, Collins Foods delivered another strong, solid performance in FY24, leveraging the inherent resilience of our world-class brands to drive growth despite the combined impacts of cost inflation and cost of living pressures. We have a long-term mindset and remain focused on managing the controllables, improving accessibility to the brand, optimizing operations, and continuing to raise the bar on customer experience. This consistent approach to brand health has proven successful, enabling us to grow revenues and same-store sales last year for all three business units, despite the challenging retail environment. As a company, we see our purpose is to be the best place to work for our people, the best place to dine for our customers, to be a trusted and respected partner for our suppliers and our franchisor, and to deliver superior, sustainable, long-term returns and wealth creation for our shareholders while we continue to reduce our environmental footprint. In times of economic hardship, consumers turn to brands they know and trust. The KFC brand, with its 50-year heritage in Australia, is well suited to this volatile economic environment. And we continue to expand and modernize our network to capitalize on growing digital trends, product innovation, and brand in-culture initiatives, such as the highly successful KFC Weddings and Kentucky Fried Chicken campaigns are also maintaining our brand relevance. The brand is gaining traction and market share in Europe, harnessing increased scale and a significant step up in marketing effectiveness under our Netherlands corporate franchise agreement. The Taco Bell brand has made improvements to product quality, marketing, and greater availability through delivery aggregators, which last year resulted in positive same-store sales and double-digit revenue growth. We continue to strengthen the foundation of the brand in Australia. As you heard from Robert, Collins Foods delivered record group revenue of $1.49 billion in FY24, driven by growth across all business units and the addition of 17 net new restaurants. KFC Australia remains the primary contributor, accounting for three-quarters of all revenue, while KFC Europe and Taco Bell continue to develop, with both recording double-digit revenue growth. While we continue to prioritise long-term brand health, we remain focused on profitability In FY24, our margin support initiatives across labour, energy and supply chain offset cost inflation across the group, with underlying earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation and amortisation from continuing operation of $229.8 million, a 12% increase on the prior year. In FY24, statutory NOPAT increased to $76.7 million, up from $12.7 million FY23, reflecting growth from the Sizzler Asia sale as well as the Taco Bell impairment in that prior year. Strong net cash flow of $176.4 million, up $30.2 million on the prior year, further strengthened our balance sheet and supported a reinvestment in the business. Net debt reduced by more than $46 million to $165.5 million, and the net leverage ratio was reduced from 1.47 to 1.07 pre-SASB 16, leaving capacity for investment in growth initiatives. KFC remained the fastest growing QSR brand in Australia in 2023. Collins Foods was key in the expansion, opening 7 new restaurants in FY24, bringing our footprint to 279. In a challenging operating environment, revenue from our KFC operations increased 6.6% over the prior year to $1.12 billion, supported by same-store sales of plus 3.8% and continued growth through digital channels. Increased app application lifted digital to more than 30% of sales in the second half of 24, a 6.3 percentage point increase over the same period last year. Investment in technology, design and back of house initiatives further supported growth in these channels. Increasing sales capacity and improving customer experience. More than 70 restaurants were remodeled during the year, further modernising our network and improving efficiency. These operational improvements, combined with additional scale and cost control, improved EBITDA margins up 57 basis points from the prior year to 19.8, mitigating a higher cost environment and a more subdued consumer settlement. The KFC brand continued to lead the market on critical brand, taste and value metrics and retain market share nationally. As a result, we are well placed for growth as economic conditions improve. However, we are not resting on our laurels, with enhancements to core products as the original Crispy Burger and ongoing product innovation through limited time offers, ensuring we remain top of mind and effectively re-engage light or lapsed users. Australia is one of the most penetrated KFC markets globally, with a KFC restaurant located within 3 kilometres for 71% of Australians. We still see further opportunities for growth in this well-established market. We expect to open 9 new restaurants in FY25, ahead of our development agreement commitment of 7 per annum. We're also open to inorganic growth opportunities as they arise. In a tough economic environment, KFC Europe delivered another strong performance last year, with revenue up 26% over the prior year to $313.5 million. Same-store sales grew 4.9%, an impressive achievement given we were cycling 2 consecutive years of double-digit growth and more challenging operating conditions. Same-store sales in the Netherlands increased plus 4.3%, while Germany was up 6.4%, with growth driven by digital channels, value initiatives, and product innovation. Product innovation is a key to broadening the appeal of this world-class brand, with localized products, higher welfare chicken, and new veggie alternatives, all driving engagement. New growth to in-store kiosks, with digital channels now representing 59.5% and 50.7.9% of sales in the Netherlands and Germany, respectively. More effective marketing and operational improvements under our Netherlands corporate franchise agreement elevated brand perceptions and mainstream relevance, underpinning market share gains. Brand metrics are now at record levels, with awareness up 7.8 percentage points over the prior year to 55%, and consideration improving 0.7%. This is ahead of our competition. While significant inflationary pressures, particularly in labour, remain across Europe, sales growth, operational initiatives, and pricing mitigated higher costs, with underlying EBITDA margin increasing slightly to 13.6%. Collins Foods' European operations now stand at 75 restaurants, an increase of 11 on the same period last year. We continue to find innovation solutions to address development and energy challenges in the Netherlands, including implementing the market's first battery-supported QSR restaurant and introducing smaller format drive-throughs to unlock new trade zones. We remain optimistic about Europe's growth potential and are actively evaluating several inorganic opportunities. We are encouraged by Taco Bell's continued recovery. It was achieved while operating a slightly smaller footprint than the prior year, reflecting improved product quality, the full year impact of Uber Eats rollout, and increased investment in media and marketing. Same-store sales also improved up 3.5% as a result of more effective media campaigns focused on out-of-home digital marketing to maximize reach and greater availability through delivery aggregation. Digital channels accounted for just over 30% of all sales in the second half of 24. These targeted campaigns reinforced Taco Bell's value credentials and highlighted new products at key $5 and $10 price points, such as the Enchilada Burrito and the Lava Crunch Burrito meals. Successful collaboration with well-known iconic brands, Arnott's and Vegemite, also increased awareness, engagement, and consumer trial. EBITDA profitability at restaurant level was 2.4 million, down 0.4 from FY23 due to increased investment in marketing and consumer experience initiatives. Underlying EBITDA was a 0.7 of a million loss. Collins Foods Taco Bell network spans 27 restaurants in suburban metro geographics across Queensland, Victoria, and Western Australia. Excuse me. Development remains paused as we continue to optimise our current network, learning from our Victorian restaurants, which remain the strongest performers due to the quality of our locations. During the year, Sizzler Asia was sold for Singapore dollars 20.2 million under an agreement with a subsidiary of listed Thai company, Minor International. The sale enabled us to effectively redeploy capital to reduce debt and support our growing European operations. Thank you very much. Collins Foods embodies its restaurant done better ethos, recognizing the importance of operating in an ethical and sustainable manner for our long-term success. Over the past year, we expanded our environmental, social, and governance program to focus on initiatives under the five key pillars of operations, people, communities, planet, and governance. We are continuing to reduce our environmental footprint, with more than half of our restaurant networks generating solar power, environmentally conscious designs being implemented for new builds and remodels, and LED lighting now in all Australian restaurants. New initiatives in Europe, such as battery-supported restaurants, have reduced our energy consumption in the region by more than 3% over the network. We also improved our waste management, with all paper and cardboard being recycled, while waste cooking oils are being used for biofuels in Australia and energy production in Europe. On the social and governance front, we continue to put our people first with comprehensive safety training and a newly implemented wellbeing strategy. We are the first employer of many young people, and FY24, we conducted 445 traineeships and made 813 internal promotions. Our supply chain is mostly locally sourced, with all Australian chicken sourced from higher welfare suppliers. And as we noted in our annual report, significant cost of living pressures and a higher cost environment are expected to remain for much of the year ahead, impacting sales growth with ongoing margin pressure across the group. In our recent trading update, we confirmed that for the first 16 weeks of this financial year, the profit gains of higher sales have been more than offset by the impact of persistent inflation on cost of sales, labour and energy. Same store sales performance also continued to reflect weaker consumer sentiment in Australia and Europe and the impacts arising from the conflicts in the Middle East, which has affected sales in the Netherlands. As a result, first half FY25 margins are expected to contract relative to last year. Commodity inflation continues to trend downwards. However, labour and energy costs remain elevated globally. Initiatives are in place across operations, energy and supply chain to support margins. We expect them to recover as trading conditions improve. The current conditions have not dampened our enthusiasm for growth, and over the year ahead, we will continue to improve the accessibility of the KFC and Taco Bell brands, leveraging our value credentials and product innovation to drive revenues and same-store sales for all three business units. We remain open to inorganic opportunities to expand our network and lift revenue and profitability. On behalf of the leadership team, I'd like to thank all of Collins' hardworking team members for their significant contributions to our challenging year for the business. I'd also like to acknowledge Drew O'Malley, who stepped down from the Managing Director and CEO role to support his family. Drew has been an incredible asset to Collins Foods over the last 7 years and leaves the company in a much stronger position. I wish him all the best in the future. And thank you, shareholders, for your ongoing support during the past year. While trading conditions are some of the most challenging we've seen in recent years, Collins Foods is well positioned for long-term sustainable growth, operating resilient, world-class brands with a value-centric QSR sector. I'll now hand the meeting back to the boss, Robert.
Thanks, Kevin. I'd now like to provide shareholders with an opportunity to ask general questions. A reminder, we'll take questions relating to the formal business of the meeting prior to considering those items of business. As indicated on the screen, to type a question, press the Q&A icon and type your question into the text box. Once you've finished typing, please press the send button. To ask an audio question, please follow the instructions written below the broadcast. For shareholders attending in person, please wait for a microphone so your name and question may be clearly heard. Are there any general questions not related to the business of the meeting from shareholders?
Robert, there are no general questions, either verbal or online, submitted at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh, there is one. I'm sorry.
Hi, Steve Mabbs, my name. I'm representing the Shareholders Association today. I just wanted to start by saying thank you for a constructive engagement again this year.
Thank you.
And also wanted to add that, you know, the Shareholders Association has been very happy with the overall governance of the company for some time. Our smaller shareholders are, generally speaking, very happy with what you're doing. So thank you for that. I think one of the questions, I also just want to quickly pass on our thanks to Drew as well. Sorry to hear about the circumstances of his stepping down, and wish him all the best too. So on that related point, any update on the CEO succession? Where are you up to with the hunt, and what are the couple of key things you're looking for in the new CEO?
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. Thanks for the question. And by the way, thanks for you and your colleagues attending. You've always taken a meaningful role in our progress as a company, and we really view it as a bit of a partnership, frankly, and hope we can continue on the same sort of lines going forward. Look, to your question, it's obviously top of mind. It's probably trite to say, the appointment of a new CEO is critical to the leadership in the company and the company as a whole. And we obviously take the process very seriously. Where we are at the moment is shortly after the stepping down of our former CEO, we had accelerated plans for appointing a recruitment firm. They're a well-known recruitment firm, highly versed in recruiting the sort of calibre of person that we're after. Where we are is there have been the usual process around long lists, short lists of candidates. We're very much at the short list stage. Interviews have begun. What I would say is, as much as we'd like to expedite it, is there are limits on that. And I think that the really critical, if you like, parameter around it is obviously we want to find the right person. And as you know, there are candidates have short notice periods, long notice periods, and so on. So there is a timing issue around that, and we'll, I can assure you that from the board's perspective, it's a critical appointment. As to the qualities we're looking for, look, strategic is important for us. I mean, I think we also discussed offline, as it were, on a number of occasions. We regard our European business as a really important pillar for our growth going forward. So, in an ideal world, some sort of exposure to that market those markets are very important. An understanding around customer service, given the industry that we operate in, is also critical. So some, goals scored in that arena certainly wouldn't go astray. We're casting our inquiries pretty widely. And frankly, one of the often unsaid requirements for these roles is awareness of the importance of culture. That's something that we want to continue to reinforce within the organisation, and obviously find a candidate who's compatible with those requirements. The only thing I'd add to that is that our appetite for growth is significant. So again, an individual who syncs with those aspirations is obviously desirable.
Great, thank you. And then our second question here was more kind of related to the growth going forward. So I think we delivered 3 or 4% same store sales growth last year, which was pretty solid. Are you happy with that though going forward, given the inflationary environment? And then the related question is, there's been some increasing commentary around what GLP-1s might be doing to the QSR industry, particularly in the US. The Ozempic type.
Weight loss. Yeah.
Yeah. So is that anything the board's looked at risk wise? Are you concerned what that might do to your most frequent diners at the moment? And have you got any data on that? Any kind of longer term worries there for the board?
Yeah, really good question as always, Stephen. Let me start with the first one first. So look, in terms of margins, And obviously this has been reinforced in our most recent statement, which, you know, as disappointing or difficult as it was, nonetheless, we took the view we had to, be completely transparent with the market. We can't control inflationary pressures. I think there's no doubt that they'll continue at least for a period. But, I'm old enough and ugly enough to know that these things come in cycles. And those pressures will pass, and our pass in due course. It may be weeks, it may be months, but, it's certainly not going to be, here forever or even in the long term. And I think that will obviously herald to some extent, the margin recovery that we're certainly looking for in terms of margins. In terms of top line sales, look, we're always looking to grow that line. And I think our emphasis has been very much around not overdoing the value proposition. So value, sure, but not price cutting at any cost, just to sell. And the simple reason for that is that we've worked very hard to establish the KFC brand, and not just in Australia, but elsewhere. And I think, you've got to be very careful around, whether it's price, really anything that you think might impact that brand proposition, I think you've got to exercise a great deal of caution around. So, look, we've been, the way we look at it is that, yes, sales, but not at any cost. As I say, I think the headwinds we're experiencing at the moment, fingers and toes crossed, will be certainly in relative terms, will be short-lived. And I think that's when we'll sort of really show our true colours, because we'll have maintained our brand strength and not succumbed, I guess, to, the lower hanging fruit. And I think, with all of that, together with obviously operational initiatives and so on, we're in a good place. And let's not forget, the whole digital space that Kevin's just spoken to. We're really sort of picking up in that arena. So, look, provided we have, that we keep ticking the box around customer satisfaction and reinforcing brand strength, I'm confident.
Okay, great. Thank you. And just on the customer satisfaction, Kevin mentioned that as well, and that you're looking to improve that. Did you track Net Promoter Score again last year? Did you, satisfaction in general, and did we make any progress there year over year?
In relation to, sorry?
In terms of customer satisfaction year over year, did you track that again in
FY
2024?
We track it all the time. We track it in a number of ways, it's very high on our priorities. I didn't address your other question, but I will briefly, if I may. Look, the weight loss, arena is obviously rife with commentary. There's no doubt that it's, we have, you can imagine risk matrices that set out a whole bunch of things, and health and, weight consciousness and more recently, more specifically, these weight loss drugs certainly appear on that list. Look, what I would say is though that I think the key here, as we've said in the past, is complete transparency with our consumers, and obviously offering choice. So that's what we try and do in our menus. We do it some ways very subtly, whether it's, healthier oils, whether it's, whether it's offering, vegetarian options. All of that is obviously on the table. However, we've got to be careful that we don't damage our core brand, which at the end of the day is fried chicken, to be blunt.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's great. Appreciate the answer. Thank you.
Good. Okay, are there any other general questions? Adrian?
Yeah, Robert, there are no online other verbal or written questions.
All right. So I'd like to at this stage also remind shareholders that the poll will be closed at the end of question time. So if you haven't done so, please submit your votes. Ladies and gentlemen, as indicated at the beginning of the meeting, the notice of meeting dated the 26th of July and the resolution set out in that notice are taken as read. And if we could just display proxy results for resolutions 2 and 3, please. Thank you. So they're now showing the proxy results for items 2 and 3 are now displayed on your screen. And as you can see from the proxy results, as voting presently stands, all resolutions have been passed. And if we could turn now to resolutions 4 and 5 on screen. The proxy results for items 4 and 5 should now be displayed. As you can see from those results, as voting presently stands, all resolutions have been passed. So let me proceed. The 2024 annual report contains the financial report, the director's report, and the independent auditor's report. The financial report has been approved by the directors and audited by Collins Foods Limited's independent auditors, PwC. As required by Section 317 of the Corporations Act, I now lay before the meeting the financial report, the director's report, and the independent auditor's report for the financial period ended 28 April 2024. Are there any questions for the auditors, PwC, regarding conduct of the audit, preparation and content of the auditor's report, accounting policies adopted in the preparation of the financial statements, or independence of PwC in relation to the conduct of the audit? Adrian, are there any online or written or verbal questions?
Robert, there are no online written or verbal questions.
Thank you. I'll now turn, if we could put that up, to resolution 2 regarding the election of Nigel Clark as the director of the company. Are there any questions relating to the election of Nigel as a director from shareholders? Adrian, are there any online, written or verbal questions? I'll just pause there, Adrian. I think there is a question from the floor.
Yeah, ASA always likes to ask directors to speak to their election if the chair's willing. So rather than rehash your bio, Nigel, because we can all read that, and obviously we know you've been on the board for some time, what would you say is, you know, the top one or two skills that you think you're going to bring to this board now that you've been, you know, in the role for 6 or 7 months that are going to add value for shareholders? Not your backstory, but, you know, what are the couple of things that you think you can really add value for to the board now?
Do you want to come up here?
To be brief as well.
He's got a mic.
Thank you for not asking me to rehash my bio. I think in terms of, recently I've been a director of Collins subsidiaries in the Netherlands and Germany and on the Sizzler Asia board prior to its disposal last year. My executive career, and I've lived in Australia, Asia, and Europe, has been all about working with advising businesses and more recently my own business about expansion into new markets, new territories. So that's buying, transactional, and then building operations within that. So very much a large part of that, and I was a partner of one of the big Australian firms here for many years, was working with Australian businesses that are expanding, particularly into Europe. So that's, you know, I think what I bring to the party. And I don't have the QSR experience, but I've been working with Collins Foods for some time now, so hopefully I can begin to add value there as well.
Yeah, thanks. I think with respect, Nigel's being somewhat modest. His contribution in terms of the, I guess, a direct link, Steve, between Europe and our Australian board, you know, in a physical and temporal sense, has been really invaluable, having someone on the ground there. And because he's really been involved over a number of years as we've expanded there, his local knowledge is invaluable. All right, I'll just check again, Adrian. I think you said there are no other online written or verbal questions, is that right?
That's correct, Robert. There are no written or verbal questions for this resolution.
All right. So I'm this point, as it relates to me, I'm going to hand over the meeting to Christine Holman, to speak in relation to Resolution 3.
Thank you, Chair. Turning to Resolution 3 regarding the re-election of Robert Kay, who, being a director of the company, retires and, being eligible, offers himself for re-election. Are there any questions relating to the re-election of Robert Kay as director from shareholders? Adrian, are there any questions online, written or verbal questions?
Christine, there are no written or verbal questions online.
Thank you. I will now hand back to Robert to continue.
Thanks, Christine. Thanks, Christine. I'm almost disappointed. all right, let's move to resolutions 4 and 5. Are there any questions relating to Resolution 4? And to remind everyone, that's the one that seeks shareholder approval for the increase in the maximum aggregate annual remuneration of non-executive directors. Any questions from shareholders in the room? Otherwise, Adrian, are there any online, written or verbal questions?
Robert, there are no online, written or verbal questions.
Thanks, Adrian. I'll turn then to Resolution 5 regarding the adoption of the remuneration report for the 2024 financial year. Are there any questions regarding Resolution 5 relating to the adoption of the remuneration report? There is one.
Sorry, not so much a question. Just wanted to pass on our support of the move on your short-term incentive to, you know, pay an increasing amount of that in equity.
Yes.
That's something ASA likes to see. So we're very supportive of that that move, and, you know, encourage you to continue down that path. So thank you.
Thanks, Stephen. It's not often that you get supportive comments at an AGM in relation to REM reports. So I'm very gratified. Look, I should say too, just as sort of incidental to that, we do review our remuneration structure, as you're aware, with some regularity. I think on this occasion, it was almost a wholesale review, and it was just, you know, consummately led by the chair of our committee, Nikki, to my right. And, you know, there's always an understandable tension in messaging these things. There's internal, there's external considerations, but I think we landed in a pretty good place. And so, again, thanks for your words of support. Adrian, are there any online, written or verbal questions?
Robert, there are no online, written or verbal questions.
All right, thank you. So does that bring the business of the meeting to an end? Yeah. So that brings the formal business of the meeting to an end. As indicated, I'll shortly close the poll. If you haven't yet voted or wish to change your vote, having had an opportunity to hear questions and the response to those questions, please do so now. Members of the Computershare team will now collect the voting cards here in Brisbane. So I'll just wait for that. Of course, yeah. Yep. All right. I declare the poll closed and confirm, as indicated earlier in the meeting, that the final results will be announced via the ASX once those results are known. Look, before I thank you for your attendance, which of course I do, let me say on a personal front, you know, the challenges of the past, you know, 6 to 12 months are not lost on us. This board has worked vigorously with management to ensure that, you know, we are well placed to deliver for shareholders going forward. We don't take the shareholder support lightly. We appreciate that it's something that has to be earned. And as I say, we're extremely grateful for the support. There are some headwinds, but we are supremely confident. And the reason I say that is really for three reasons, if I may say so, and apologise to my company secretary who will be saying it wasn't scripted. But the first that I'd like to, you know, raise is the strength of our executive bench. For those who are a bit more intimate with some of the changes over the past 12 months particularly, you will observe there have been some changes. I think we are in a terrific place now to take the company forward to the next phase. So that really inspires me and gives me a great deal of confidence. The second are my co-directors who are outstanding. There is no limit to the time, effort and heartfelt contribution and investment that they make. We're not talking about monthly meetings. We're not talking about weekly meetings. We're talking about very often a daily involvement. And I think that certainly inspires me. I hope it inspires others as well. But there's no doubt that in terms of the long-term health of the company, they play a vital role. The third element is obviously our staff, and I'm not just talking about management. I'm talking about our 20-odd thousand young employees. Obviously, without them, we don't have a business. And again, I think it is incumbent really on our board to always have a one, if not two, eyes directed towards their welfare, financial and otherwise, not just by keeping them employed, but to provide a safe and healthy work environment. It's quite a responsibility, actually, if you reflect on it for a minute. But I think all of that, given their commitment to better themselves and improve the company again, has always paid dividends. I know that Kevin, who's had a long history with this company, feels strongly about that. And so the evidence is there. You know, Collins hasn't grown the way it has for no reason. And whilst we've hit a couple of speed bumps in the last 6 months, it's really those three integers that, for me, give me tremendous confidence. So I really thank you for your attendance, and let's hope for a prosperous year ahead. Thanks.